Hi, I'm Bede Hill, and this is The D Word, the show where we talk dementia. Almost halfway through the year, where does the time go? Welcome along to another edition of The D Word. Glad to have your company. We've always been big supporters of Dementia UK's Admiral Nursing Service. And this week, I'm delighted to welcome as my guest, Hannah Gardner, who's been given a unique role as Consultant Admiral Nurse for Children and Young People. Hannah will be telling us all about it right after this from Webb Wilder. The Old Merseys and David Bowie's song Sorrow by Webb Wilder, kicking off this week's edition of The D Word. Dementia has an effect on every member of the family involved, but up until now, nobody really has concentrated on what it means for children and young people. Setting out to change all that is my guest this week, Hannah Gardner from Dementia UK. Hannah, it's a pleasure to welcome you here as my guest on the D Word, Consultant Admiral Nurse for Children and Young People at Dementia UK. I'll be talking a lot about that. Before we do, I mean, tell us a little bit about the background. How did you start in nursing?
I guess this comes from my childhood. Both my parents were nurses. My dad was a mental health nurse. My mum was a general nurse and worked, trained soon out of school. So it's always been in that environment. And my mum worked in elderly care and she was a matron at a care home. She helped set up a care home in the 90s. So I spent a lot of my time around older people and people with dementia. So I originally didn't want to be a nurse. I did lots of other things. I did tourism, I did business, I was a trainee accountant. And I went to uni and traveled, studied tourism and went out to work. But there's always a big part of me wanted a profession. So I originally wanted to be a midwife. So applied for university and they said do adult nursing first. So at Hertfordshire University. So I trained as an adult nurse. And then when I qualified, I worked at Royal Free in elderly care, because at the time there was a lot of freeze on jobs. And I sort of got into that role and worked there, worked as a community nurse as well. But during that time, my own mum developed young onset Alzheimer's disease. So my mum was actually working still as a nurse when we noticed that she was having language difficulties and word finding and just really struggling. Her anxiety was really picking up. So I have that lived experience of my own mum in her early 50s developing Alzheimer's, and it was really hard for the whole family. And I've always wanted something positive to come out of it. So during my role, sadly, after she died, there's a job that came up at the local hospital as the dementia lead. So I wasn't sure. So I applied for it. I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to get into dementia, it's a bit close to home. I like being a district nurse, going to people's houses. But I applied for it and got it. And it was, yeah, admiral nursing started from there. I met Vic Loynes from Dementia UK. We were setting up the Hertfordshire Admiral Nurse Services. So we launched Lister Hospital Admiral Nurse Service. So I became the admiral nurse there, the dementia lead, for about 4 years. And it was fantastic, raising awareness, supporting health professionals, education around dementia, actually working with the local community dementia services, and just putting dementia on the agenda within the hospital. So it was really a fantastic role, and it's still going. It's still Ruth is still there as the admiral nurse, and it's going really strong. But from that role, young onset's always been my passion. So I moved to Rare Dementia Support at UCL Dementia Research Centre as the admiral nurse there, and I supported families to within the middle to late stages of dementia. And which was a great experience. I learned so much to work with the researchers and the research centre as well, and the professionals in the team as well. So, but from there I worked on. So it's a long story. So now I went back to Dementia UK. I worked on the helpline, virtual clinics, had done party conferences, and then this job came up as a consultant admiral nurse for children and young people, and I just had to go for it. It is a perfect role. It's about that awareness for the children living within families across the UK. So anyone under the age of 18, and it's such a varied role. It's the only role nationally or internationally just for children. So it's fantastic for Dementia UK to lead and recognise children. And we've been running the service actually for just over a year. Last week was a year, and we've supported many children virtually. And we're looking at research, we're looking at our communication, our resources, just so children know that we're not alone, and working with other organisations as well, like Lorenzo House, which is a based in America, and it's about supporting children from young onset families. So it's a really exciting role. So I have an interesting story, but really driven by that personal experience and that awareness. I just get what it's like to have a family member with dementia, but recognise everyone is different as well.
A station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, There are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, you certainly seem to have found your vocation in doing that. He's a, you know, it's a very unique role, isn't it? I mean, do you tend to find that with people living with dementia, I suppose quite rightly, the focus is on them, possibly their primary carer, but, you know, other members of the family and those younger members of the family tend to get left out of the equation a bit?
Yeah, with children, it is hard. The children are aware of changes in someone with dementia, the impact on their lives as well. We know people get a diagnosis and families don't often get much post-diagnostic support or education around the dementia, don't know where to turn. Services are restricted, funding, and this all has an impact on the children, their life, their balance, your fundamental foundations of your life are changed when you have a family member with dementia, and the children pick up on the changes, the family time together, the stresses, the people coming in and out the house. And there is that big gap about who's educating the children about dementia, who's actually teaching them, telling them about the symptoms, how to engage, how to communicate, how to look after themselves, recognize their emotions that they feel. And to share with peers as well what you're going through in the schools, to actually recognise as well. So as we know, dementia ripples through the whole family, and that's including the younger generation, be that a grandparent has dementia or a parent with dementia, it affects the children lives.
I mean, it must be difficult as a child if you see changes and you think, maybe that's not right. And it's very difficult, I guess, to communicate that as well, because it's something you might think, oh, I don't want to tell anybody about that, or that kind of thing as well must be really difficult.
Yeah, it can be really difficult. Children pick up on changes. Children are very aware, and often families don't want to tell children what is actually going on, but children can see changes. The relationship can change with that person, the reaction from the person with dementia or towards the child. So you come home from school and you want to show them a picture or tell them about something about work, and you don't get the response you used to have. So there is that role change and the emotional impact and that sense of isolation and noticing something's different. And we do know children do have a lot of myths about dementia. We find that children do find it very difficult to put into words of what they're going through and tell their peers, especially with young onset families. When you're 8, 9 and your dad has dementia, how do you tell your friends when society thinks dementia is an older person's condition? So it can be extremely isolating and stressful for the children, just to put into words what they're going through. Adults find it difficult, but children even more so with the pressures of school and growing up, puberty. It's a big time for children, and it can really have an impact on their lives and their future lives as well.
You know, one of the last things you think about is something like dementia, I guess. You know, you don't, you know, if you're 8 or 9, you don't really think about stuff like that, do you? And I guess also the thing with peer support is it might be hard to find, because one, you don't want to admit you're in that situation, and even finding someone else who's, you know, going along similar lines.
Yeah, we do know there's a lack of peer support locally, nationally, and part of this role, Dementia UK, we have put a research grant in to develop peer support that can be designed by children that can be shared across the UK to set up peer support for these children. But we do know when a family member has dementia and there is that lack of support to support the children, and within schools they have young carer support, which is fantastic. It's really valuable, but the needs of someone whose dad has dementia might be different to someone whose grandparent has dementia. So, and often just that peer support, and though you're not alone, and those peer support groups aren't necessarily there just to talk about dementia or talk about a condition or talk about being a carer. It's about that time away as well of being a child, because you only have one childhood. So that lack of support for children is so needed, because the diagnosis can affect children's mental health and well-being equally as adults.
Did it surprise you at the beginning that, you got this job, looked around for research, and it sounded like you found almost a blank sheet of paper?
Yeah, so the research, there has been research at Bangor University I support. They developed a tool for children to learn about dementia and looking after their well-being, and we have collaborated with Bangor University. I've got an honorary contract with them now, and we are working together for research. There are some research papers out there, but it's an area that is underfunded, under-recognised, and I suppose with dementia research funding anyway, it's very restricted. So this is a niche area, so that it's really hard to set up a service nationally and be an ambassador for children as well through my role with Dementia UK, raising awareness, talking, going to conferences, really to get people thinking and talking about the children, that hopefully that will have a knock-on effect on research and recognition for these children as well. But it's a new area, it's a new role for Dementia UK, and supporting children as well is new for Dementia UK. So it is a learning curve, and the information that I am developing and holding on and experiencing, we hope to maybe put that into research as well. We do publish our work, and literature reviews as well have been done, so, and compare my role with that. So even though it's just been a year, we are a force of nature. We want to bring that change, and hopefully more research will be granted.
Hills run out of coal and the county company
Croak from the Castellows here on the D Word. If you've missed any editions, then you can catch up with the last 50 shows available for listen again and download on the website at ughealthradio.com. I'm chatting this week to Hannah Gardner from Dementia UK. Yeah, hopefully so. I mean, you know, when you're going out and about, you must get a lot of people that say, hey, that's really interesting, but I've never really thought about that. I mean, I'm one of them, that must be a reaction that you get at the moment.
Yeah, being out and about, going to conferences, meeting, networking with others, it is been an eye-opener for people, talking to people about family. As admiral nurses, we have 460 admiral nurses across the country, and they support families, and within those families there are children, but often people are aware of the children in the family, but just their referral criteria might be different. The services, a diagnosis is given in a clinic where the children aren't there, so people aren't actually seeing these children through the diagnosis state. So that's why a family approach to diagnosis is really important. But people have had those light bulb moments now when I speak to them and talking about the children and just reflecting on their own practice, their own services, their own families as well, and giving them confidence to talk to children about a diagnosis as well, which is the key. So it has been a ripple effect just talking about it. And within our Dementia UK media as well, we're putting more stories out there, we're putting more press about children, so children actually see that we recognise them from the charity.
Yeah, and that's very, very important for children to be involved, I guess, in the whole thing. It must be kind of very easy, like you were saying around the beginning of the conversation. You've got people coming and going, bits of paper with diagnosis being read by people, people saying, yes, I'll do that in a minute. Oh, yes, well, can't play football with you or do this. And it's so important for, I suppose it's almost a team approach, isn't it? For the, you've got the person living with the dementia around them. You have the family caring team.
Yeah, it is that diagnosis. It ripples through the family. The person with dementia is in the heart of everything we do as admiral nurses, and the family offer that person so much support, and each member in that family supports each other as well. So it has a whole effect of the whole family. That diagnosis does impact not just one person, but the whole generations as well. And family members rely on each other, and the children. Children take on caring roles. The families don't recognise them as carers. They may not be doing hands-on washing or preparing food, but if you've got to sit with someone with some emergency numbers just in case something's happened, or you've got to just go and see Nan, just check on her after school, you're the only person that's seen them for a couple of days, that responsibility, that's a caring role, and that's not recognised. So it's about recognising every member of the family a carer, and that can be quite difficult because of the stigma associated with being a carer. People think you have to live with the person to be a carer, you have to be an adult to be a carer. So it's actually recognising children's responsibilities as a carer and what would happen if those children didn't do that, if they didn't sit there with the emergency numbers or checking someone's okay, eating, or making sure prompting someone to have medication. These are big things that children are doing and often not recognised. So it's essential that we see them.
Yeah, I think, you're absolutely right. That recognition of the role of carers. I talk to a lot of carers, and the first thing, a lot of people say, well, I'm not a carer. This is what I do. This is what we do in the family. And I think, as you said, that, that real recognition of the role is very important. I guess for you talking to young people, not a large percentage of people, but also you have to talk about things like genetic inheritance, I guess, as well.
Yeah, that's a sensitive area. There are families with often be the rarer types affecting younger people. There is that genetic link, which can be very stressful for families. But we always say any family with concern does always speak to the clinic and getting the proper professional advice, because that can be quite a worry for children. And also it's that age appropriate talking to children about that situation, and those particular families need that support as well. So we do recognise the genetic link in the families that do have that genetic aspect of their diagnosis, but can bring another dimension to the support needs. So we do recognise those, but we always say it's very focused on a family, and we always recommend speaking to the clinic or the doctor, particularly under who's under the care of that person.
Sure. Yeah, there's a whole approach within the family, but when it comes to those organisations outside the family, it won't be the first time I've said it on this show. I still find it interesting and probably amazing that dementia hasn't got a place on the school curriculum. Why are we not teaching about dementia consistently in schools?
Yeah, a lot of the, especially when you think about the heart, what's good for the heart, what's good for the brain, and that impacts a diagnosis of dementia. Vascular dementia is caused by lifestyle. It's about lowering your blood pressure, healthy eating, stress as well. So to be on the curriculum for children to actually understand how to look after themselves and the importance of eating and drinking well, exercise that can prevent lifelong conditions. But yeah, it would be amazing if it was on the curriculum, and exploring how preventative of diseases as well, and all diseases as well, not just dementia, but that education. I think speaking to children when they're younger about their health and about dementia, it gets into the vocabulary, it becomes part of the conversation, and it's the people, children hear that word from a young age and they know how to look after themselves as well. So to be on the curriculum to educate children, because that's the key about education. Often if you don't have the right education about the diagnosis and the what dementia is, it can cause a lot of stress. And also when I am supporting children, a lot of the time we are looking at the brain. We're looking at different parts of the brain. We can't see dementia. It's not a broken arm, but you can explore the different parts of the brain, where language is, where memory is stored, where's balance, where's personality. And that has been an eye-opener for children just to learn about the brain, to help them themselves and the diagnosis as well.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
The station that makes you feel good.
Fight it. No man's got. would sing for the people, and people would cry. You knew that his song came from deep down inside. You could hear it in his voice and see it in his eyes. And so he traveled along, touch your heart, and then be gone. Like a flower, he bloomed till that old hickory wind called him home. My man's got it made. He's gone far beyond the pain. And we who must remain go on living just the same.
Never tire of listening to the Eagles, and that was My Man. Back to my guests now on this week's D Word, Hannah Gardner from Dementia UK. The saying is, I think the future you want tomorrow starts today, and it's never too young to start thinking about those things. With young people, communication, I think you hit upon it earlier in our conversation, is a real biggie, isn't it? Because, I think back to my youth, and, we were using words and ways of communication that perhaps were difficult for the adults in my life, and, turn the going in the opposite direction now. And sometimes, as an adult, you do find it difficult in terms of communicating with teenagers and young people.
Yeah, communication is a big part of life, isn't it? You don't have to be speaking to be communicating. It can be body language, interpreting, telling someone an instruction, and processing communication as well. And the children that I have supported have been very aware of what to say, what not to say, and how to engage with their family members. And children have a lot of information, that person-centered information, communication prompts that they can engage with the person with dementia who might be in a care home. They might know some history and be able to start a conversation, know how to put someone at ease, and you don't have to be having a long conversation with someone to engage, because we know sometimes that children and young people feel a sense of loss of the relationship that they're losing, or the relationship they never had, and how to stay connected with someone. You don't have to be talking to them for an hour. You can spend 10 minutes engaging, looking at different senses, smelling flowers, tasting biscuits, that communication, connection, and spending time and music together is really powerful. And also communication is having the confidence as well. It's about empowering, giving children the skills to recognise how to approach a family member and not to be scared, and not to see the person, not the diagnosis. And then any changes that are happening in the person, it's about recognising that that's not them, that's the disease that's happening. They then may not be responding because it's the disease, not something that you have done. So the communication is a big topic, and we are looking at that as within this role to look at resources to actually educate children more about communication.
I guess a lot of the things, talk to children and educate children, a lot of the things rub off on the adults as well, in terms of, it's often said, isn't it, you want to educate adults, then start with children and they'll tell their parents. And there must be a bit of that going on as well.
Yeah, I think children, especially the younger children, don't judge. They take people for what they are, and I have supported children who have visited relatives in care homes and have noticed dementia in other residents and had the confidence to go up and talk to them without any fear. And children have amazing resilience, amazing awareness, and innocence as well, which can help protect them in some way from a diagnosis because they don't judge, they take the person as they are. So, children, I'm learning from the children I support all the time. They are amazing, resilient children going through some very difficult times. And they are living in today's world as a child. I often say I was a child many years ago. So, what is it like to live in today's world as a child? So, we learn from them so much.
Yeah, I think that's, yeah, you make a really good point about living in today's world, which is, a lot different to the world, certainly that I grew up in. And it's the old put yourself in someone else's shoes, isn't it? Put yourself in the shoes of someone, a young person living in the 21st century. Very much like with people living with dementia. I'm no expert. The people living with dementia are the expert. It's just me trying to envisage what life is like in their shoes. Sticking with people living with dementia, have you asked them their feelings on their condition and how it's impacting the young people in their families?
I think I suppose in the early stages of a diagnosis, insight into your own condition. Sometimes we feel that people get a diagnosis and then they get labelled that diagnosis. Oh, you person with dementia, or my family member with dementia, nan's got dementia, mum's got dementia. But often people with dementia are aware, and children can bring a lot of joy to people with dementia. They are often really important people in their lives, the children, and to be able to spend time with them is really important for people with dementia as well. Everyone with dementia is different. There's many conditions that cause dementia, and I think children in people living with dementia lives enable them to feel connected, a sense of purpose. They may not be able to babysit or look after the children, but it doesn't mean they can't go outside, go to the park with the children, go on holiday, spend time together, cook together, be chief taster. When you're cooking, it's children bring so much joy to people with dementia. And you can see it in research with care homes and nurseries, children going into nurseries, into care homes, and the impact it's having on both generations. So that is a big area, and that could be really powerful if we could embed it more across the UK.
Yeah, I think you're making a lot of jobs for yourself, I think, in terms of all of this, Hannah. You're going to be a very busy person, I think, with it's one of those subjects that you scratch the surface and open it up, and it never stops. I mean, you suddenly think of something and something and something else. I actually, yeah, before we finish, God congratulate you, by the way, on the postgraduate certificate in Burson Centre Dementia Studies that you got
Oh,
from
thank you.
University of Worcester. That must have been very interesting.
That was good. I've been doing it for started it actually. COVID did one of the modules there, but it was fantastic to study. And with my assignments, I used the children and young people, so it gave me opportunities to research and evidence base what's out there. So it's great. Next stage is masters, unfortunately. It doesn't stop yet for me, but that was funded by Dementia UK as well. So we're always, the Dementia UK, always developing our admiral nurses. So to get funding for that is incredible. So it was great to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And good luck with stage two, as it were, with the masters. I mean, broadening it out, I think the Admiral Nursing Service is brilliant. We've been doing the show for 6 years, been saying that all the way along. The only thing is, I still find that people I talk to say to me, "What's an Admiral Nurse?" And it's difficult getting the message out there.
We're getting more aware. We've actually just been recognised as the Sunday Times best charity to work for, so our awareness is increasing. We're getting more admiral nurses across the country, and our helpline, we always say anyone who hasn't got access to an admiral nurse to phone our helpline or book a virtual appointment. And we've got nationwide clinics across the UK, which you can find on our website. But yeah, we often get that, what is an admiral nurse? A lot of families may not be aware, but we are trying to raise awareness more with that to help people understand that we are there. Even if you haven't got a local admiral nurse, there are services that you can link in at Dementia UK. So yeah, we're developing all the time.
I think one of the areas that it's very important that one of the jobs you had at the Lister Hospital, which coincidentally is a couple of miles down the road from where I'm talking to you from, and it's this thing about people living with dementia going in the hospital. Unfortunately, it's fairly well proved that there can be a cognitive decline when people go into hospital. So that whole area of making sure that that is lessened once someone does go in for hospital stay is a really important and vital area.
Yeah, admiral nurses play a very key position within hospitals. With an admiral nurse within a hospital, they often are that dementia lead driving change and support. And during an ad, as we know, when people are admitted into hospital, one in four people will have dementia on the ward. We know delirium is a big part of a admission as well. We know nurses, there's a shortage of nurses, and the press are on the wards as well. So it's really can be difficult for families when someone with dementia is admitted into hospital. So admiral nurses do play that key link and driving that awareness. So yeah, Lister Hospital was an amazing experience, and to really get the hospital behind dementia is the key as well. And I think with Dementia UK, we're hoping to have more admiral nurses across the country within hospitals and linking into the community services. So we have that pathway of support as well for families during admission and discharge home.
I came at all this after many years in public health, and in all that time talking to people in public health, I never heard the D word, and it always appeared to me that the illnesses like coronary heart disease, diabetes, were all over in one corner, and over in the other corner was dementia that wasn't really accepted into that whole sphere of general illnesses. It somehow seemed to be over there on a limb, and I still feel that we need to grab it together and bring it into the, for want of a better word, mainstream.
I think it is. I think it's the number one killer, isn't it? Dementia. We don't have a cure for dementia. Other conditions such as heart disease, cancer, we're getting better at medicines to prolong people's lives. But with a diagnosis of dementia, we don't have that cure. It is a palliative condition. It's getting people to recognise it as a life-limiting condition, and it's not a normal process of aging. And we do need more support and recognition and funding for families and social care and hospital. We know. Big topic with funding care and dementia. We find that often people with dementia are disadvantaged because of that diagnosis compared to another condition. So we do need that challenge. And with Dementia UK, we have our campaigns and team that work with parliamentary and actually promoting policy as well to ensure children and families living with dementia are on the agenda for the government as well. With Dementia UK, we do sit around the table with a lot of organisations in the government as well. So we are doing our best to keep pushing that awareness. And for all admiral nurses, we all have that passion. So one big organisation just driving awareness. So it has been a challenge, but hopefully we're getting somewhere going forward.
Just please, Hannah, all you and the marvellous Admiral nurses out there, keep on doing what you're doing. You're all doing a marvellous job. Almost running out of time, sadly. Always save a big question for last, but do you think generally that we talked about politicians and policy makers, that we do need a dementia strategy to just pull everything together and getting it aiming in the same direction?
I think we need, I know we have We need something. We need a strategy. The government needs to have a plan of how we're going to conquer and support people living with dementia. How are we going to find that cure? We know the government do have research funding program in place to help embed more funding, but we do need a strategy. We need it to be on the agenda. We want the government to recognise it and have a plan of how we're going to combat and actually invest money. Invest funds in dementia care and support within hospitals and community services, health and social care talking together, and embedding services. So I think any strategy, anything on the government would make a real big difference to families, and families would see that. And actually, often families don't seem heard and quite isolated. So to have a strategy by the government would help families recognise that the government see them and there is a plan which can make a big difference to our families.
Certainly would. And, when it comes to writing that chapter on children and young people, I think you got yourself another job because I can't think of anybody better qualified to do that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. It's a job. It's a great job. And I've got a lot of passion and drive. So, force of nature, sometimes I'm told. So, yeah, it's great.
Yeah, but sometimes you need to be, don't you? You need to
Yeah.
ask those questions that other people don't ask. Those questions people find difficult. Stick your foot in the door, and that's what you need to do.
Yeah, I think that awareness, just talking about it, I put myself out there raising awareness. I share my own lived experience. So, and it's really important. And we know dementia care, we can't do this alone. So, collaboration with Lorenzo House, we've got a youth summit coming up in a couple of weeks, which is a global youth summit for children living within families facing onset. So, we recognise that it is a team effort as well.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you as my guest here on the D Word, Hannah. And hopefully, we can keep in touch and we'll get you back on the show in the future to see how the project is going. Good luck with it. I'm sure it'll be successful. And thank you again for being my guest.
Thank you very much. It's been lovely. Thank you.
Thanks to Hannah, and I wish her every success in such an important area of work. If you want to find out more about the Admiral Nursing Service, then head to the Dementia UK website at www.dementiauk.org. Well, that's all for this week. Thanks to Angela, my production assistant. Next week, my guests will be dementia care nurse and their health writer, Katie Pescatello. So until then, thanks for listening and take care now.